The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Good morning, everyone. This is Andrew Locher sitting in for your regular host, Stephen Fleury. I have a quick programming note to alert you to at the start of today's program. Not that you wouldn't normally do this, but you'll want to be sure to stay tuned for the Trumpet Hour with Mr. Joel Hilliker coming up next. It'll be presented live here from the Mail Processing Center. He has a special guest with him, Brent Noctegal. He's our employee that's deployed to the Jerusalem office, our Middle Eastern expert and archaeologist. He's going to be a guest on Mr. Hilliker's program to discuss the elections and other developments in the Middle East. So you'll want to be sure to get the meaningful explanation about everything that's taking place over there. So be sure to stay tuned right after this program. Back to Mr. Stephen Fleury. He returned home late last night after a busy three-day swing through the Midwestern United States. He's continuing with personal appearance campaigns. What a great summer we've had with tens of thousands of people invited. Thousands attending over the course of the year. We began the campaigns this year in Portland and also in Tampa with Mr. Gerald Fleury. And then Mr. Stephen Fleury has followed up with a dozen or more campaigns as we progressed through the summer. The result of that has been to really busy the schedules of our regional directors, our local ministers that are out there meeting with everyone. It was informative yesterday to hear the interview with Mr. Cal Culpepper about just needing to create a list for the people that are waiting to talk to the ministry because, you know, people's conversations carry on. And because there's so many people that want to talk to the ministers, well, we've had to make a list now just for the ministers to call them back. That's in addition to the follow-up Bible study lists. And so you can see that in each city we go to, we typically have anywhere from 2 to 4 ministers there present, and they're quite busy for quite a length of time, even after the campaign ends, talking about the Trumpet magazine, talking about KPCG, talking about the Key of David. And those that are interested in attending with us, it's really great to hear their enthusiasm. This is a busy time of year as well. I wanted to bring out, too, just for other visit requests that we receive from those that read our materials or watch the TV program. Maybe they haven't come to a campaign yet, but I was just looking at the dashboard today for what we call a visit request, and that is when a subscriber or a coworker writes in or calls into the church office or to one of our regional offices and expresses interest in following up with their studies and perhaps attending services with the church. There's just shy of 700 open visit requests right now, and that's in addition to all of the activity from the campaigns. And so you start to put those numbers together, and it really is very inspiring. The church is growing. Between the two nights in Chicago and then last night in Indianapolis, we've had close to, I would expect, about 50 different individuals signing up for the follow-up Bible studies. Those are really strong numbers. We've gone to Chicago a number of times, as you heard yesterday during some of those interviews. It seems that each time we go back to Chicago, more and more people and different audiences come to the events, as Cal Culpepper brought out. While not all of those that express interest will become members, most, or at least certainly a lot of them will become members. The monster montage that was played yesterday and on previous Trumpet Daily radio shows prove how many are just really interested in this message. And as Mr. Fleury brought out yesterday, the clear message in these campaigns is that there's time to act now. There is time for that, and God is encouraging all of us to really focus in on his message, to listen to what he's saying, and to commit ourselves to actually doing what he teaches us in the Bible. As I mentioned, church membership is growing, And that's really exciting for us. There's no doubt in my mind anyway that without the church's aircraft, which we purchased a couple years ago now or year and a half, 2 years ago, without that aircraft, we would really be struggling to keep up with the rigorous schedule of the campaigns, the holy days, traveling to the Middle East, Mr. Fleury keeping up with membership all over the world. It really has been quite a blessing for the church. Mr. Stephen Fleury has had an aggressive summer dealing with just the campaign schedule, the school schedule, summer camp. And it's been really interesting to see how he's changed up the support crew. A lot of us have had opportunity to travel with him. Mr. Hilliker, as he'll be presenting the next program, he of course, went on the campaigns up to Detroit and spoke of the impact it had on him. And it's not just the support crew. It's the students that are able to go. They also do work there. They do support the campaigns. So much has been accomplished. This year, God has invested over $150,000 to support the campaigns. We mail out thousands and thousands of invitations and pay the postage for that. We have to rent halls. There's the cost of flight. There are follow-up studies, ministerial travel, literature, the administration of these campaigns. But what a great investment. What excitement it brings to the local areas that are able to participate in these campaigns. It really is electrifying for the church, and the fruits are just abundantly clear. They're very, very positive. We have just one remaining campaign prior to the Feast of Tabernacles. That will be in Ocala, Florida. We have already about 100 non-PCG tickets requested for this event. It's just going to be a single-day event held on Sunday, September 29th in Ocala, and that will wrap up our busy summer travel schedule. It's interesting to see where God sends us. We had plans for certain cities this summer that for one reason or another, it didn't work out. And then another city opened up. And I always think that that's God's influence saying, well, there might be an individual here or a family there, or maybe a group of people that God really wants to bring this message to. As I said, Mr. Fleury visited Tampa, but about a year ago. And yet here we are going back to that area, back to Ocala, just a little bit north of Tampa. I was thinking this morning, maybe that means there's a person there or some people there that God is really trying to get through to. He's reaching out to them, and he's having multiple campaigns there. Now, the campaigns are just one area or one activity of God's work where we're pushing to get this warning message out to the world. We are employing a new strategy for television station, over-the-air broadcast stations that we contract with. We've added more smaller market stations. Probably about 7 or 8 new TV stations have been added in the last couple weeks. Over the last few years, we've gone off some of the bigger stations, WGN, Discovery Channel, and also our daily station in Chicago. And again, with those type of decisions, God's hand seems to be very involved in that too. We, Discovery Channel and the Chicago station, changed their programming schedule or their lineup. And so we lost our time from that. And I just think it's a way of God making sure that we move the program around to the different areas to reach everybody that he wants to reach. If you're watching the YouTube feed, we're just scrolling through all of the TV stations around the world where you can watch the program. You can, of course, watch it online. You can get a podcast. It's available on Roku. We do whatever we can to make it as visible to this world as possible. We have an exciting addition for Friday mornings coming up here at the end of October. We will be broadcasting on the CW network. It's about 100 to 150 stations that will be carrying our program Friday morning. And it's a kind of a unique situation. Not every CW Plus station will carry it. They're allowed to broadcast some local programming. But it will most definitely add exposure of the program to a different audience. We do very well on the CW network. We also air Friday mornings on the ION network. So each Friday morning, about 100 to 150 stations around the United States will be broadcasting the Key of David program. That's the preparation day for the Sabbath. And we're really excited about this addition of the CW Plus. Now, looking back over the year, we have had less response to the Key of David program. And again, I would attribute that to going off some of these major networks. And we are working to reverse that. But again, I think it's interesting to see where the program is being moved. The stations that we lost, like WGN or Discovery, were not nearly as cost-effective as individual contracts in medium-sized markets. And the savings from not being on those national broadcast networks has allowed us to expand the waiting room program. We've done additional online advertising. We've, of course, had the surge with the campaigns. We've developed Watch Jerusalem. And so there's a lot of things taking place. We probably will add another national cable outlet for us sometime in the coming weeks, hopefully. So we do want to, again, reach out to as many people as possible with our program. I was looking at the print costs for our books and booklets over the past year. And so far in 2019, we spent $460,000 on printing. So just shy of $500,000 so far this year on printing expense. I looked at the cost for postage, $602,000 so far this year spent on postage. That covers the Trumpet Magazine, Royal Vision, True Education, the Correspondence Course, books and booklets. Again, if you're watching the YouTube feed, you see the tremendous inventory of literature that we make available to this world, all of it free of charge. No cost or obligation. If you're listening to this station, you should be well acquainted with that principle and how God directs us to give it freely. He's given it to us freely. He expects us to promote it and also give that away freely. There is a lot of money spent on distributing this message. Now, I mentioned Watch Jerusalem as one of the areas we have expanded, and I'm sure much more will be said about that project by Mr. Stephen Fleury, other guest hosts, Mr. Noctegal, perhaps Mr. McDonald. We're very excited about the movement in this area as we target the Israelis. The website is up and running. Mr. Gerald Fleury is producing videos for that website. The print edition of Watch Jerusalem is about to debut. We've had a surge of donations to our Jerusalem Fund, which has allowed us to expand our advertising there, and it's promoted more of the projects that are aimed specifically at Israel. It is fulfilling prophecy in Isaiah 40 and Isaiah 22. Now, I don't know if I'll be able to speak to you again prior to the Feast of Tabernacles, but just to mention to you, we're very busy in our final preparations. The mail processing center is preparing pallets to ship supplies and booklets and other things that are necessary to host the Feast of Tabernacles. Incidentally, you ought to see our warehouse. We're about to burst at the seams down in the main storage area. We've reprinted booklets. We have new booklets. And all of this is just stacking up in our warehouse. And yet, when you look at the numbers of pieces of literature that we move each year, it is pretty staggering. This is really a very massive, massive work. Well, there's too much going on with the work right now to address all of it, but I would like to encourage you to continue your support for God's work as you're able. Clearly, prayer for the work, for all of these projects, is just so necessary. We're going through a strong year financially. We're slightly behind last year's income, and that's mainly due to a decrease in donations from estates and also a slight decrease in the building fund donations, and that's to be expected. We're not currently building anything at this time. But I am happy to report that the Holy Day offerings are increased. The first tithe and general offerings are about holding to last year's totals, which were an all-time high. So thank you for supporting this program. Thank you for supporting this station. Thank you for reading the magazines and just keeping up with all of the projects all over the world. It's common for us to hear at these campaigns how the different materials are being consumed. A lot of listeners to KPCG, and obviously hundreds of thousands of people subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine. And as I pointed out, the station's available, or the program is available on hundreds of stations all over the world. Well, we'll take a short break now. And when we return, I want to talk about our present evil world. There is a connection to prophecy. There is a connection to the holy days that we're about to celebrate. And so when we come back from the break, we'll dig into that subject.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back. Toward the end of Herbert Armstrong's life, God really impressed upon his mind the fact that this is Satan's world. It's not God's world. And that condition is about to change. And that is the best possible news we could have. We could say that with great confidence, as I'll explain throughout the rest of this program, because God gives us Bible prophecy. And there is no greater proof than fulfilled prophecy that God exists, that he's in control of everything. He declares the end from the beginning, as he says. He tells us things that are to come. He wrote a letter to members and co-workers of the church that I just quoted in a class that I teach here at the college. And Mr. Hirma, one of our regional directors, just gave a sermon, and he also quoted this statement just last week in his message. He said, this is Mr. Armstrong writing to co-workers in December 1985. He said, "Remember, this is the work of the living Creator. We are now very near the end of this present age. I will continue to give my all to the work of God up to the last breath. I hope you will all realize the seriousness of the time in which we live and that nothing is important any longer other than to be close to God and assured of a place in his very soon coming kingdom. This world is not God's world, and of that we may all be thankful. It is now in the very last days." This illness, he was near to death. This is just a couple weeks before he died. He said, "This illness has impressed heavily on my mind more than ever before the uselessness of this present evil world." End quote. Pretty strong message from God's end time Elijah. God gives us the holy days to keep us in a firm understanding of his plan for mankind. He gives us the holy days to inspire us about what lies ahead. And I think that statement from Mr. Armstrong sums up perhaps better than most any other statement the uselessness, as he said, and the dangers of this present evil world. It's a world that's depressed. It burdens the average human being with the deceit, the lies, the difficulties. It is depressing, and without God's truth, it would be hard to have any hope. And so God gives us the holy days. He gives us prophecy to keep our minds focused in a very positive direction. We do have to deal with some difficulties ahead, but there is great hope. I really encourage you to request, or if you already have it, to reread our booklet, Pagan Holidays, or God's Holy Days, which And as you study through that book, you begin to piece together all of these holy days. The message that's communicated there explains our future. It gives us tremendous hope. We have a toll-free number that you can call if you'd like to request that booklet. It's 1-800-772-8577. You can visit our website, thetrumpet.com, and request the booklet there. You can also sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, as you just heard advertised on this program. That was not by design, but I think it worked out really well. The Correspondence Course is also free upon request. And if you haven't gone through this, you really, really need to. I strongly urge you to do so. There's even individual lessons about each of the holy days as part of that Correspondence Course. When we taped the last Key of David program, after we finished taping, Mr. Gerald Fleury was speaking to Mr. Falk and myself, and he said that we really need to promote that Correspondence Course more. And we do so even on KPCG. I'm sure you're familiar with the program, Live by Every Word. It's hosted by Dwight Falk. The program, there's a new episode almost every single Monday. It airs at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 Central. That program is played, Live by Every Word, is played on KPCG just about every single day of the week. You can download episodes, and if you go online and look at that program to get a podcast, you'll see that there's 118 different episodes recorded already. That's a lot of study, a lot of instruction God gives to us. If you're interested in taking the Correspondence Course, you can sign up for a paper version of that, a subscription to that, or you can even take it online. The URL for the online Correspondence Course is bcc.hwacollege.org. If you have questions or if you didn't catch all of that contact information, you can send in a question to td@kpcg.fm, and we'd be very happy to enroll you in that Correspondence Course to send you any of our literature. The Apostle Paul began his epistle to the Galatian church, and I want to read to you several verses. Today's program is quite a bit more like a Bible study, you could say. In Galatians 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." There's quite an introduction there. A lot communicated. We do live in an evil world. And it's God's will that we grow and that we have a future beyond this present evil world. And so he sent his son to deliver us. Now, there's no question that this world is evil. As I mentioned, the lies and deceit just really plague the news and plague all of our lives. There's sin, there's despair, misery all around us, and I don't have to get into all of that. So many pathologies. With the time remaining, I want to connect events in this world with the two coming holy days and prove to you that there is abundant joy associated with each of them. As I said before, fulfilled Bible prophecy proves that the Bible is true. It proves that God exists. He is not unaware of what's taking place on this planet, as even some religionists would argue. He's keenly aware of what's going on. He's reaching out to those that he's calling. He's sharing this message of hope freely all over the world to anybody that cares to listen. I want to focus on the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement because I don't have tons of time. And if I do get a chance to speak to you again before the Feast of Tabernacles, maybe I'll be able to speak about the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. Our listeners are familiar with the direction of world events. In fact, today's a pretty big day watching the elections in Israel. And with all the prophecies that God gives us about these end days, or the time of the end, as we talk about in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, the end of the book. I'll just pick up a few highlights here. You're familiar with this. It says, at the time of the end, our time today, Daniel says, at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. King of the south being radical Islam headed by Iran. Again, I'm not going to get into all of the proofs for that. We have abundant sources of literature. And perhaps if you're still with us at the live program right after this one, Trumpet Hour, you'll hear perhaps even more. It talks about this king of the South pushing. It talks about a king of the North entering into countries. Verse 41 says, "And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon." Again, special meaning and instruction for God's church there. You can request Jordan and God's church in prophecy to learn more, or the Daniel booklet. Verse 44 goes on to talk about tidings out of the east are going to trouble the king of the north. Verse 45 says, "He shall plant," speaking of the king of the north, "he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain." Or you're going to see the king of the north down in Jerusalem. And the verse ends by saying, "Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Now, this is all prophecy relevant to us today. Foreboding. Yes, there is a push from the king of the south that's prophesied to come. And perhaps we're starting to see evidence of that more and more clearly as each significant event happens. But as this prophecy ends, it gives us details of what to look for. It talks about a coming conclusion to this warfare. You could study Revelation chapter 6, chapter 9, chapters 17 and 18 for more details about the tribulation, the day of the Lord, the fall or the destruction of the king of the north or Babylon. There are prophecies that explain how and when and why the other world powers will be destroyed in these battles. And then it all talks about and it builds toward the conclusion of the establishment of God's eternal kingdom. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the return of Christ. And he said this in Matthew 24, verse 21. He said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Again, this prophecy points to the solution. It gives us hope. If it wasn't for God's intervention, there would be absolute total global destruction. But it's not going to end that way. Because of the elect, for the elect's sake, those days are going to be cut short. As you know from the Olivet Prophecy, there's instruction about things to look for: religious deception, wars, famines, pestilence, other natural disasters, persecution, unheard of violence. There's a lot that is coming our way. I want to talk to you about several news events that are taking place right now, just to highlight that what Christ warned us to be on the lookout for, well, the evidence is all around us. This is an article from Agency France Presse. This is from September 16th, and the title of the article is "Saudi Attacks Underscore Evolving Drone Threat." Now, again, I think you'll hear quite a bit more about this in the coming program, but I wanted to draw attention to the use of drones. This article says, "An attack on Saudi oil facilities at the weekend has exposed the vulnerability of the kingdom to drone strikes and underscores how traditional air defenses can be breached by new low-cost technology," experts say. Saudi Arabia is one of the world's biggest buyers of weapons and spent an estimated $65 billion on armaments last year. So even with this huge investment, $65 billion to protect their nation, low-cost, relatively new weapons are being used to wreak horrible destruction. Said on Saturday, attacks on the national energy giant Aramco, and it tells you where, there in Saudi Arabia, it knocked out 5.7 million barrels per day of production, over half of OPEC kingpin's output. So it was massively effective, this airstrike, very costly to the Saudis. This security think tank, I believe it's in the Middle East, they estimated that only 10 drones were deployed in this attack. There's been some unconfirmed reports that maybe some cruise missiles were fired as well. Regardless, it was a pretty small investment to create massive, massive troubles. If you look back in the news over the last 12 months, you'll find evidence of several attacks using drones and missiles trying to attack the Saudi kingdom. That's not the only event that's taking place. From September 17th, also from Agency Free or France Press, it says France gives more people iodine pills in case of a nuclear accident. This is from yesterday. France will soon start distributing radioactivity blocking iodine pills to keep an additional 2.2 million people living near the country's 19 nuclear power plants to be taken in case of accidental radiation leaks. So, kind of an ominous piece of mail to get if you go outside and you find iodine pills just in case there's an accident. This statement says, if radioactive iodine is released into the environment, taking stable iodine is one of the most effective ways of protecting the thyroid. So if this happens, your only source of protection, really, that they can offer is to take this pill to mitigate the impact of the quote-unquote accident. And it talks about how France gets the bulk of its energy from nuclear reactors. But could this also be protection, knowing that instead of an accident, maybe a terrorist attack on a nuclear facility, or perhaps some other type of incident could be on the horizon? An accident at a nuclear facility, it seems kind of unheard of, doesn't it? We know there's been a few. Think about this story from August 19th, 2019, from Fox News. It says Russia's nuclear monitoring sites lost contact after mystery blast. The article says two Russian nuclear monitoring stations specifically designed to detect radiation went silent in the days following an explosion of what many believe was a nuclear-powered missile earlier this month during tests at a remote base in Siberia. It says there have been reports in Russia that Russia has not been fully transparent about what occurred at this base. The article says The Guardian reported radiation levels in Siberia at this nearby city increased 20 times above normal for about an hour to an hour and a half after the explosion. It talked about the Russian people stocking up on iodine. It took 2 days for the government to acknowledge that there was a problem. And there's a theory that the Russians were testing a new mega torpedo, which has nuclear power. They said it's 30 times larger than submarine torpedoes, considered heavyweight. So this new massive weapon, we hear these stories from Russia about the Satan missiles or these nuclear missiles. And this particular torpedo has a certain technological advancement that allows it to just kind of be active in the ocean almost indefinitely and carries a lot of firepower. President Trump went on Twitter after that accident and he said that the United States is learning. And I love how he always addresses things. He says the United States has much better advanced technology. He's always got to one up. There's other mishaps in Russia. Also, from yesterday, an explosion rips through Russian laboratory housing smallpox, Ebola, and the plague. Again, yesterday, just happened yesterday, a massive gas explosion has sparked a fire at a Russian lab that houses the viruses ranging from smallpox to Ebola, authorities say. They also have anthrax there. Firefighter and rescue teams responded to the explosion before it was realized what the possible implications could be, kind of reminiscent of Chernobyl. The situation was quickly upgraded from an ordinary emergency to a major incident. And then they talk about, well, there's not a whole lot to worry about because if there was a hot fire, it would destroy any release of these biological weapons. So France is giving away iodine. Russia has gone through a couple accidents in just the last several months that has released radiation that has occurred at a facility that perhaps is making biological weapons. Jesus Christ said you'd hear of wars and rumors of wars. There'd be troubles. There'd be natural disasters. All of these things happening in the lead up to his return. Do we see these things happening? The Pentagon tests missile previously banned under a U.S.-Russia arms treaty, as reported by Fox News back in August. Says the Pentagon announced Monday that the military conducted a test over the weekend of a type of missile that previously had been banned for the last 30 years under the treaty between the United States and Russia. And, of course, America's taking a lot of heat for getting out of or opting out of this treaty. And yet it's a treaty that the Russians haven't abided by for years. And the concern here is that it's going to spark additional fields of an arms race where there's not only nuclear missiles or attack submarines or torpedoes, but now there's land-based cruise missiles and other technologies that previously were forbidden by this treaty. The treaty was important because these missiles that were banned, that Russia was not to develop or deploy, nor the United States, that these particular missiles are especially dangerous because they're short range. They leave just seconds, if not maybe a couple minutes, of time for the country that's being attacked to respond. And so it just tightens that window of response time, which is hugely dangerous. Just a couple more articles here. I just want to prove to you that we live in a very dangerous world. The United States has been a stabilizing force, as it has been the British Empire. And while we've seen world wars, they've been mostly contained because of the Western powers or the Allied powers and because of their military strength. But as you know, as we've reported, that's all on the decrease. It's expensive to keep up with technology. We invest billions of dollars in these very sophisticated systems, only to find that new low-cost technology outsmarts them or works behind our protective security blanket. And so we're forced to try to respond. This article from military.com from May 2019 talks about a scrapped U.S. B-52 bomber to return to service after it's rescued from the boneyard. The point is here that the U.S. Air Force is flying a fleet of bombers that are 67 years old. It's the world's oldest heavy strategic bombing force. We have less than 10% of those planes left available to use or that are airworthy. And so we're having to go to the junkyard to grab parts to keep them going. And that's because we can't deploy new technology because we don't have the money and the technology just isn't quite there yet. And so the United States is relying on parts from the boneyard. Just a couple days ago, again on military.com, they reported that a Navy carrier strike group deployed, but without the aircraft carrier. An aircraft carrier strike group without the aircraft carrier. The Harry Truman, which is a reasonably new aircraft carrier, was supposed to deploy to the Middle East, if I'm not mistaken. But it is plagued with electrical problems that are still under repair. And so they had to deploy the other ships because the region's heating up. But the aircraft carrier, the main component of that force, is still in dock. This hasn't happened for 13 years. The problem is, in the past, if there was an issue like this, well, they would just use another one of our aircraft carriers. But there are no other ones to deploy. Our newest carrier, the Gerald R. Ford, is locked up right now in repairs and maintenance and also just trying to get the new technology to work. There's a prophecy in Ezekiel 7, verse 14, that talks about when the alarm of war sounds, that the military doesn't deploy. We don't act. And as is pointed out, there's very little time to react. These military attacks are surprise attacks. It doesn't bode well. And so you can see how Christ said, well, there'd be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be all of these problems and conflicts. A lot of disaster out there. Now, that's pretty scary. And it's not anything that should trouble us if we understand Bible prophecy. All of that prophecy that Christ talked about, that Daniel talked about, the warnings of the signs to be on the lookout for, all of that is being fulfilled. It should give us confidence in those words that are written in the Bible. But if you read through those prophecies, every single one of them ends with a very positive message For example, as I said with Christ saying, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Or Daniel 11 talks about the end to this destructive empire. The holy days that we picture spell out the solutions for us. There is good news associated with the holy days. As I mentioned, the Feast of Trumpets teaches us about the return of Jesus Christ. I'll read to you another prophecy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. We typically read this and study this passage during the Feast of Trumpets church services. It says in verse 16, "For the Eternal himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So the resurrection of the first fruits. Verse 17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort you, comfort one another with these words." Know what the Bible teaches. Understand what these holy days picture for us. There is great comfort that's coming. Jesus Christ is about to return and stop these problems. And that leads into the next holy day, the Day of Atonement. It's a time when Satan is bound and his influence is removed from mankind. It's taken me a little longer to get through this material than I expected. And so I'll just briefly mention a few things here. And again, perhaps come back to this at a later time. But I encourage you to go to our website, pcg.church. You can find all kinds of articles there about the holy days, about prophecy. You can request our literature. You can find the Royal Vision on that website. The Day of Atonement is a special day. And what I was going to talk about, and I'll just go over very briefly here with you, was the impact of this day. Revelation 12, verse 9 tells us that Satan and the demons have been cast down to the earth. They're confined here. And you really see that. You feel that, don't you? September 11th, the anniversary of that terrorist attack, this year was particularly impactful on me this year. I just couldn't stop meditating on that day, on the events of that day. I watched several videos that kind of just take you right back to the moment. I listened to Mr. Hilliker's program on that very subject. We draw attention to the fact that in May of that year, just a couple months before the terrorist attack, God revealed to the church that we'd entered the last hour. Time is running out on this present evil world. And so we focus on that warning from God right before the attacks. But it's also, I think, interesting to note that within a month of those attacks, we kept and celebrated the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. There is a lot of prophecy about both of those holy days. And what's interesting, if you look at Daniel 11, as we did, if you look at just about any prophecy that has to do with the end time, the countries and nations that are mentioned are the Middle East, Europe, the United Kingdom, America, Russia, China. Those are the key prophetic players. And isn't that pretty much all you hear about in the news? Not to say that there aren't events going on in other places around the world, but if you just pay attention to prophecy and what's making the news, you find reference to these particular nations. Now, that anniversary of the attack, the terrorist attack, reminded me of a conversation I had with one of our members last year. He wasn't in the church at the time of these attacks. He was actually working at a mental health facility. And he was telling me that, mind you, this facility was overseas. It's not even in the United States. The patients didn't have access to television. The staff did, but they were busy going about their duties and somewhat unaware of what was taking place. It was getting close to the end of the day for them. And what this member told me was, as staff at this facility, there was this stir among the patients. They were out of control. They were really just in a very terrible state of activity. And the staff there couldn't really put it all together until they began to see what was happening over in the United States. There is a connection between mental health, not in every case, obviously, but there is a connection between some of those psychological disorders and the spirit world. And as this attack was unfolding, the spirit world was active. That impact or the response of those in some of those facilities is well documented. I had an article here entitled Psychiatric Emergencies After the Terrorist Attacks of September 11th, 2001. It's a study about the increase of the authorities having to deal with psychiatric emergencies during that day and for about 2 days that followed. There was a major uptick. Now, some of it you'd expect, people on edge, and especially if you were close to those events, they would be disturbing. And perhaps you would get called by the authorities for your behavior, or maybe you called the authorities. One way or the other, there was a significant increase in psychiatric emergencies all around that day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that Satan is the god of this world. They're depressed, they're enraged, they're murderous, because they know that the last hour is here. Their last hour of unbridled, I guess they are still restrained to a large extent, but their freedom, if you want to look at it that way, is soon to change to bondage. The Day of Atonement teaches us that God is going to corral Satan the devil. He's going to bind him up. He's going to remove his influence from mankind. September 11th shows you how chaotic the world can get in just a moment. There's a lot to say about mental health crises. I'll cover that at some other time in a future program. Again, I just want to let you know that there are prophecies about Satan, the demons, but there's also prophecies that are associated with the Day of Atonement. I'll read to you Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. It says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, the millennium. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. And the prophecy goes on to talk about he'll have a short release. And then he's cast into outer darkness. Again, prophecies that prove what we're seeing in our world today. Well, that the evidence is here. And those prophecies conclude with this good news, this great news, that Satan is to be bound and his influence to be removed. The sicknesses that plague mankind, all of that is to change. I want to end by just reading a very positive prophecy found in Revelation chapter 21. This is verses 1 through 5. And just meditate on these words. This is a troubling time to live, but it's a brief moment in time, and the time is expiring. And what lies ahead is an eternity of productivity, of joy, of family, of health. This is a prophecy that draws the Bible to a close. There's just a few verses after this, another chapter, but this pretty much ends the Bible, the story, God's great news. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They're gone. This present evil world was gone. It says in verse 2 that John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. It's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3 says, and I'm just kind of skipping through this, it says, I heard another great voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is prophecy. This is sure to happen. All the other prophecies mentioned in the Bible, they've either come to pass or they're in the process of being fulfilled. So we can have great confidence in this. God is talking about a new world, a world where he dwells with us, where we'll be his people and we'll respect him as our Father. Verse 4 talks about God wiping away the tears from our eyes. He says there will be no more death. nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are gone. All of that to be eradicated. Verse 5 says, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. We can rely on this prophecy about the future. God is going to make all things new. All of the negative, troubling things that we see in this world are soon to be replaced with just the most uplifting, productive, blessed environment. The holy days are, the fall holy days in particular, are the perhaps the time of greatest joy for the people of God's church, for you. If we study these prophecies, if we recognize that the troubles that lie just in front of us are to be short-lived, and if we focus on how God ends every one of those prophecies, then we will be inspired. We will be motivated as we understand that soon the very purpose for our creation will be fulfilled for all eternity. Well, it's been great being with you today. I hope you have a wonderful day. We're going to wrap up a minute or two early here so we can transition into the Trumpet Hour. Again, a live broadcast here with a guest host. So please stay tuned and have a really wonderful week.